old people just went amen. All the old people like me. You know, sit down front for two reasons. One, that way I can sing at the top of my lungs, and they can't hear me, and neither can you. Number two, because I'm an old white guy with no rhythm, if I stay close enough to that bass drum and that snare drum, I can at least attempt to stay on beat. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. Why does it seem that we can never be satisfied? I mean, you can have a seemingly perfect life, you know, the American dream, with a great career and material possessions, you know, maybe even a spouse, a kids. But it seems like no matter what level of economic comfort we reach, we still sense of dissatisfaction in our life. An uneasiness, if you will, that makes us feel like there's just something we haven't received yet. Something we're still waiting on. Something we haven't achieved. Or more so, something that we're just, our life seems to be on hold or waiting for. I mean, it seems like that no matter how well we do, that there's always a level of dissatisfaction in our life. And this past week, we began a series called Elements, and we've been digging down to the core of who we are so that we can see, just as the elements on this planet make up everything that you see, you touch, you taste, the elements make up the complex compounds. We are looking at the core to see the basic makeup of us as individuals, to see the very basic elements in our life. And we've been studying through the second chapter of Ephesians. And last week, we saw that very powerful word that Paul shared, that we were once far away, but praise God, through Christ, we have been brought near. In other words, you belong in a relationship with God. I don't know if you know that this morning. I don't know if you realize that this morning. I don't know if that thought has ever crossed your mind before. But let me tell you something. You belong in a relationship with God. You belong in a relationship with God's people. You belong in God's house this morning. You may not feel like it, but I'm telling you, God's word in Ephesians 2, Paul said it. Look, you used to be far away. You used to be deserted. You used to be doing your own thing out there in the far reaches, but God's love chased you down, sought you out, provided salvation for you because He wanted you to know that you belong. He created you to belong and to have a relationship with Him. And I want us to look one more verse in Ephesians chapter 2 today. I love this verse. It's one of my favorite New Testament verses. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says this: we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I love that verse. And you'll see why in just a moment. I love that word, workmanship. I've shared this with you two or three times, but in case you missed it, that word workmanship in the Greek is the Greek word poema. And we have transliterated that Greek word into English. And it's the English word poem. So literally, you could read that verse, we are God's poem, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. How does that sound? How does that sound? How does that make your heart feel to know that everything that makes up your life, everything of your personality, everything of your experiences, everything in your abilities, everything in your life, from the moment you took breath in your lungs, that you are God's poem? You are God's masterpiece. You are God's workmanship. Man, I'm telling you what, that alone can dramatically transform your life to know that you are God's masterpiece. Literally, this morning, I want you to understand, you are God's design. If I walk out there in the parking lot to my pickup truck, praise God, yes, I'm redneck, live in the South, and I drive a pickup truck. But here's the deal. If I walk outside of my pickup truck, you may not identify what brand it is. You may not know anything about vehicles, different brands of automobiles and trucks and SUVs. You may not know one from another. But if you walk around either the front or the back of my vehicle, you will see that familiar bow tie Chevy emblem that is on the front and on the back. Praise Jesus. I love it. Nothing like dividing an audience like that. But here's the deal. You can identify its marks because the emblems are on it. Let me tell you something. God's mark is on your life. You are God's workmanship. You are His poem. Don't ever forget that. The psalmist, David, said in Psalm 139, he said this. He's talking to God. He said, "You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Since we are God's design, that means that, let me tell you something. Since we are God's creation and we are God's design, that means that our career, our relationships, either with a husband, a wife, as a father, a mother, as a son or a daughter, our hobbies, no matter how well we excel at them, can never completely answer the question, "Who am I?" You say, "Why do you have you ever?" You say, "Why do you say that?" Have you ever noticed that when you introduce yourself to somebody you don't know, and you say, "Hey, my name's Bodie. Tell me who you are. Tell me about you." Have you ever noticed that when you ask somebody who they are, that they immediately start answering that question either by identifying their career, what they do for a living, especially if you ask a man. You ask a man, "Hey, my name's Bodie. What's your name?" "Hey, it's Jim. Tell me about yourself." "Well, I'm a..." And they'll automatically tell you what they do for a living. A man really gets his identity based off his career and based off his job because he pours himself into it. He works hard and he invests in it. And in a manner of speaking, it identifies who he is. But people will introduce themselves and they may even say, "Hey, I'm," they may identify themselves by a relationship. They may say, "Hey, well, I'm Jody's husband. I'm Bodie. I'm Jody's husband." And I tell you what, the more places than not I go, I introduce myself as Bodie. I say, "Well, I'm Jody's husband," because she is far more known than I am. Praise God. People know who she is. She's lived around here most of her life. She's an outgoing, extroverted person. She doesn't meet strangers. And I know where my daughter got it from. But people automatically start answering that question of who am I, either based off a career, a job, or a relationship. Maybe you go to one of your kids' ball games, and of course you identify yourself. "Well, I'm that player's mother. I'm that player's father. Or I'm that person, that participant's parent." And we identify ourselves based off relationships. We identify ourselves based off our career or job. Sometimes we might identify ourselves based off of some hobby that we have. You know, got a lot of guys in here, a lot of people in here that got a lot of hobbies, but I got a lot of men in here that love to hunt and fish. And if sometimes you start talking to them and say, "Hey, tell me about who you are." "Well, I like to," and they tell you the hobby. "I like to play golf," or "I like to fish." I'm giving all these male answers because, I am one. So, excuse me, ladies. I'm not trying to leave you out. But here's the deal. If you've noticed that. You notice that when someone starts to tell you about themselves, they'll identify their career, their relationship to someone, some hobby that they like. They start identifying themselves based off these things. You can never, ever find your identity based off those things. The reason that sometimes we feel dissatisfied, the reason sometimes we can't feel any satisfaction, is because our identity is wrapped up in those things. But your real identity, according to Paul right here, is that you are God's design. You are God's creation. Let me tell you something. That's a huge difference in answer. That's a huge contrast and dichotomy in answers between your career, your relationships, and between the fact that I am God's creation. I am His poem. I am His masterpiece. I may not look like it. I may not sound like it. I may not act like it, but I'm telling you, look at the badge on the grill. I am God's workmanship. But you know what? That's also, think about this for a moment. That's also why teenagers, why young adults and 20-somethings usually struggle, try to find their identity in another capacity, usually in their type of friend group that they hang around. I had a young man several years ago. I worked in student ministry. I had a young man. If I said his name, a couple of you probably went in here, probably went to school with him, so I won't. But he used to wear the most unusual clothing. He would wear the typical kind of skater pants and stuff because he liked skate and everything. He was into different types of music and stuff. But he would always have an array of objects hanging from his clothing, his belt, his pants. I mean, he had like this pixie doll. Boy, that's all telling my age, isn't it? He had this little doll hanging from his belt one time. He had a couple of empty soda cans hanging from his belt. I mean, he would just hang all kinds of random objects himself. And I would say, hey, man, you know, tell me about this. How'd you come up with this? Why is this? I don't know. I just want to be different. I said, well, you know the problem with being different, don't you? And he said, what's that? I said, you're trying so hard to be different that you look like all the other people trying to be different too. I said, there's people all around you that look just like you, so you're not really that different than anybody else, are you? And he said, you know what? I've never thought about it like that before, but you're probably right. But teenagers, 20-somethings, they usually try to find their identity in the type of friends they hang around. It may not initially be a job, or they might try to find their identity in the college or the career choice that they've made. Well, I'm not yet, but I'm studying to be this. I'm studying to be a nurse. I'm studying to be a teacher. I'm studying to be an engineer. I'm studying to be that. So a lot of times, teenagers, they struggle with their identity because they're trying to find it in a group of friends. Or, you know, they hit that about 19, 20, 21, 22-year-old mark, and they haven't figured out what they want to do with their life yet. And they're looking around and they're going, they feel all this pressure. They feel all of this intense pressure to figure everything out. And when they're struggling with that, then they try to gravitate towards something that gives them an identity. They try to gravitate towards a lifestyle or something that gives them some form of identity. But yet it still leaves you dissatisfied, doesn't it? Why? Because you're God's design. You can never get your identity through those things. And you'll always feel dissatisfied if you try to line your identity up and stack it up on top of those things. You will always feel dissatisfied because you were created for something quite different. You were created with intent, with purpose. Let me tell you something this morning. You were created. You were designed. You are God's design. And everyone is trying to figure out who they are. I don't care whether you're 13, 18, or 80, or somewhere in between. Everyone is trying to figure out who they are. Let me ask you something. Why do you think that things like plastic surgery are so popular? You know why? Because people are not satisfied with who they are. And they're trying desperately to project on themselves an identity they think will satisfy them. Well, if I get a few tweaks and tucks here and I add a little here and take away here, maybe I'll look a certain way so that I'll be more satisfied with myself. So I will be more satisfied with what I look like, with who I am. I mean, I've seen people heap abuse on their bodies by starvation, by dangerous or toxic diets, or even extreme physical training just to look a certain way. I'm not talking about training and good diets to be healthy. Lord knows I could benefit greatly from a few hours in the gym every single week, Mo. I pick on Mo because, man, he's a trainer, and I know if I went up there that I would benefit greatly from it. But I'm talking about people that go to the great extremes, that literally abuse their bodies because they're so dissatisfied. They're so unhappy with who they are. And they're trying to desperately find something that will satisfy them. Maybe if I look a certain way, maybe if I look different than what I do now, maybe I will be satisfied. I've also watched people go into tens of thousands of dollars of credit card debt to purchase things to give themselves a certain image. See it every day. Our economy thrives on it most of the time. Why? Why do they do that? Because people will go to incredible, incredible extremes to find some measure of satisfaction with who they are. The problem is that if you look at the hood ornament of your life, as I said a while ago, it doesn't say hairstylist, teacher, contractor, mother, father, husband, wife, awesome gamer. It says God's creation. Now, they don't put hood ornaments on cars much anymore, but the few that do, usually I can't afford. There's a few that still put hood ornaments, and they're all recognizable. You know, they got that emblem up there. The one that's marked across your life says, God's. My design. My creation. I'm telling you what, all of those identities, all of those other identities can and do fail. The only identity you have that will never fail is, I'm God's design. I'm God's creation. I'm His child. That's the only one that'll never fail. Because you know as well as I do, I've experienced it recently, and some of you have as well. Your job can change. Whether you want it to change or not, sometimes it gets changed for you. They cut your position out. Marriages can disintegrate, and you can no longer be a spouse to someone. Kids grow up. Man, I talked to mine about an hour before this service started, 8,600 miles away. Lord, have mercy. Every day, I just like, please, 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 oh God, take care of her. Use her greatly. Kids grow up. So if you find your identity in that, what are you going to do when the kids are gone? I'm telling you this morning, you have got to realize you are God's design. You are God's creation. You are His masterpiece. You are His Leonardo da Vinci's Mona Lisa. You are His Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. I'm telling you this morning, you're God's design, you're God's creation, your identity is wrapped up in that and that alone, because that is the one thing that can never be stripped away from you. That is the one title. I don't care where you go, what you look like, what your background is, what your decisions have been, the lifestyle you've led up to this point, the mistakes you have made, that is the one thing that will never be changed about you. You are God's design this morning. Let me tell you something else. You were made for His purpose. You were made for His purpose. Listen to verse 10 again. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That word, that statement there, created in Christ Jesus, it's not talking about the original creation where He created the heavens and the earth and He created Adam and Eve. It's talking about when a person is created in Christ Jesus. When a person is born, literally as we saw last week, raised from the dead spiritually to walk in newness of life, to have a life with Christ, a life with God, to be in a relationship with Him. He says, created in Christ Jesus, you were raised, you were saved, you were changed to do good works. That means you were made for His purpose. Paul goes later on to the believers at Colossae there in that city. In the book of Colossians chapter 1, he said, listen to this. It's a long verse. Listen to it. For by Him all things, talking about by Jesus, all things were created. Things in heaven and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, powers, rulers, or authorities. All things were created by Him. We talked about that in the last 10 minutes. But listen to these last two little words. And for Him. Everything was created for Jesus. It's all about Him. It's all about His purpose. Paul says, look, you were created in Christ Jesus to do good works. In other words, God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. You were made for Him. That should free us up to know that we were originally created by God, but also that we were created for a purpose. Man, think about that. Most people walk around their entire lives wondering if they have any purpose on this planet. It's easy to get lost when you think about there's 7 billion people on this planet. It's easy to get lost. It's easy to get lost when you see the traffic. Like I was a couple weeks ago, hung up in Atlanta, downtown, 5 o'clock, rush hour, Atlanta traffic. Wow, I thought Memphis was bad. I mean, it took 2 hours to go like 40 miles. 2 hours just sitting, moving along. It's easy to get lost and wonder if your life has any purpose, if it has any meaning behind it. And people wonder that all the time. Let me settle the issue for you today. Yes, you were made for a purpose. You were made for a reason. You are not an accident. You are not a mistake. You are not a happen chance in human history. You are not a blip on the radar of humanity. You were made for a divine purpose this morning. Yes, let me answer that question. You don't have to wonder about the things you've gone through, the things you've experienced in your life, the choices you have made. I'm telling you what, God uses it all according to His purpose. It's all for His plan. Let me tell you lastly, you will only be fully satisfied when you are fully committed to His plan. Let me say that again. That's a long one. You will only be fully satisfied. We've been talking about being dissatisfied with who we are, being dissatisfied in our life. thinking, you know what, if I get this job, or if I can get that house, or if I can marry that person, if I can have kids like that, if my face and my figure could look like that, if I could wear those clothes constantly, and every time we get one of those things, we get it, and it just don't quite live up to our expectations. It just don't quite give us what we actually thought it would. It's because you will only be fully satisfied when you are fully committed to His plan. Listen to what He says, which God, in the last part of verse 10, which God prepared in advance for us to do. In advance. Did you know God created a plan before you ever entered this earth? God had an incredible plan laid out. A credible purpose laid out in advance just for you. He picked you out. He singled you out. He said, you're my creation. You're created not only by me, but for me. And I got something prepared in advance for your life. Man, you want to talk about a sense of destiny. You want to talk about a sense of satisfaction. You will never be fully satisfied just in the purpose of your job, no matter how noble that job may be. You will never be fully satisfied just in the purpose of your relationships, whether you're married or have kids. To go further, let me take this one step further. You will never be fully satisfied in a church, no matter how many programs, no matter how great the music or the preaching is or is not, you will never be satisfied. As good as all of those things are, as noble as they can be, you will never be fully satisfied until you are fully committed to God and His plan. You know why? Because that His plan absolutely goes over the top of everything else. It superimposes everything else. It's His plan that'll be perfect. Excuse me, it's His plan that'll be perfect. It's His plan that will be fulfilled. Psalmist said in Psalm 138, 8, you will fulfill your purpose for me, O Lord. How great to know that God's purpose. You know what? That job may fail. That relationship may hit rocky ground and struggle and go up and down and be like a roller coaster. If you got kids, it is a roller coaster. I don't even have to tell you that. Praise God. But here's the deal. Even in a church, you can have ebbs and flows. You can have up Sundays and down Sundays. Man, I'll tell you what, I walk out here sometimes and I'm like, Lord, have mercy. Your spirit was there. Oh God, you sat down and somehow, some weird way, you used me as your mouthpiece. And I walk out here sometimes and go, Lord, I apologize for that message to you right now. I mean, I'm serious. I mean, I feel like sometimes it's up and down. But if you're resting, if you're looking for that perfect relationship, that perfect church, that perfect job, you'll never find it. You'll always be dissatisfied. You'll always be finding some reason not to be satisfied. But when you are connected to God's plan for your life, realizing that you are His design, that you are for His purpose, guess what? That doesn't change. That doesn't get stripped out from under you. That does not get thwarted. I don't care how much Satan tries to attack you. I don't care how much you think you have messed up and just dropped the ball. I'm telling you, that is the one. His eternal purpose is there. And it is sure and certain. Point in case. People change jobs. People change careers. People change relationships and friendships. As I said earlier, they watch kids grow up. Some people change churches like underwear, and they're still not satisfied. You know why? Because when we put everything in those things, we have banked everything on those things that were never meant to fully satisfy us. Do you know what? Those things were never meant to fully satisfy you. I'm married. I have kids. I get the absolute joy of being a husband to Jody. I get the absolute joy of being a father to Emily and to Corbin. I get the joy pastoring this church, which I flat love. I'm telling you, God have mercy. But I know that all of those things were never meant to fully satisfy me. God's eternal purpose and plan in my life is the only thing that was ever meant to satisfy me. That's why we feel so dissatisfied, because we banked everything on those other things. that were never meant to complete us. Gosh, I am such a product of media. You know, I grew up in the 80s, a little bit of the 70s, not much of the 70s. But, you know, I grew up in the 80s, so movies and TV shows, you know, media is just really exploding. And we all love that one line in, you know, the love portion of Jerry Maguire, where you complete me, you know. It's all sad and sappy, and, you know, you might have a few tears. But you know what? Those things were never meant to complete you. Those were just meant to add to your life. They're not supposed to be the foundation of your life. Because what happens when those things change or they're stripped away? The bottom falls out of your life and you're empty. Because you've banked it all on those things that were never meant to bring you total peace and satisfaction in your life. Beautiful examples in Luke's Gospel in 18. It talks about it's even marked, you know, in some of your Bibles where they have the little, you know, talks about what the next few passages are. It has little headers on it called the rich young ruler. This guy came to Jesus and basically was very well known. He was a young guy who was wealthy, influential, had everything probably materially he could want. He came to Jesus and said, look, you know, he said, how do I inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, you know, he said, good teacher, how can I inherit eternal life? He said, why you call me good? He said, there's none good but God. He said, let me tell you something. He said, what does the law say? What do the prophets say? He said, well, you know, I'm supposed to, you know, take care of the people around me, blah, 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 blah. You know, I'm supposed to be a good person and all of that. And he said, I'll tell you what. He said, why don't you take everything you got, sell it, give it to the poor, and come follow me. And it said he went away. And Luke's gospel says he went away very sad. Why would this guy be sad? He's young. He's got his youth. He's got honor. He's got recognition, position, authority, material possessions, wealth. All those things that we're banking on to satisfy us. Why would he go away very sad? Because he was basing his entire life, his entire identity and existence on the temporary. Jesus offered him the opportunity to make his life count for eternity, and he turned it down. He could not fully commit his life to Jesus and Jesus' mission. He could not fully commit to that which was God's plan for all eternity. The psalmist said it plainly, Psalm 145. It says, the eyes of all look to you, O God. It says, the eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand, listen to this, and satisfy the desires of every living thing. It is only in the context of a relationship with Christ, fully committed to Him, to His mission, His plan for your life, that we can ever, ever be fully satisfied. I want to make one point to you today. One point. It's two words long. Last week, the point was you belong. The point this week, very simple, two words, you matter. You matter. You matter in the context of eternity. You matter. Your life matters when you are fully committed to Jesus, to His mission. You matter. You matter whether you ever have a high-paying job or not. You matter whether you ever get married or not. You matter whether you ever have kids or not. You matter whether the world ever knows your name or not. No matter the material possessions, you matter because you are God's designed, redeemed for a purpose, and you can make an eternal impact. You matter. That is what you and I need to walk away from here this morning. We are God's workmanship. You are His design, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. He has a purpose for your life, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He has a plan that can fully satisfy your life like nothing else you've ever staked your life on. His design, His purpose, His plan. Satisfied fully, can never be stripped away, can never be removed. Man, how incredible. Can you picture that young man standing there on that day in front of Jesus? He walked away from God Himself And Scripture never tells us whether he ever got satisfied or not. What are you staking your satisfaction, the peace in your life, your identity on? I want to ask you to bow your heads for just a moment. Just close your eyes. I just want to take a few moments and just pray this morning. The head's bowed, the eyes closed. What are you staking it all on? Are you staking it on that career that maybe you just started or you're halfway in or maybe you're even getting ready to retire from? Are you staking it on that bank account, that financial report? Are you staking it on that relationship? Are you staking it on that hobby? What are you banking everything on? What is your life setting on the foundation of? There's only one thing that's sure, certain to satisfy you. And that is a personal and intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Nothing else will satisfy you. I can tell you that. God told Isaiah, go tell the people. Isaiah 45:22. He said, you go tell the people, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God. There is none else. In other words, he said, Isaiah, you go tell the people, look all over the planet. Look all over their life. They will only find one God, and I am He. They will only find one thing to satisfy them, and it is me. This morning, I want to invite you right where you sit. Are you fully committed to Him? Have you staked everything on Jesus? I'm not talking about church membership. I'm not talking about denomination. I'm not talking about a past experience, a baptism. I'm not talking about a sprinkling, a confirmation. I'm talking about, have you ever fully committed your life to Jesus Christ and said, God, you can have it all. I've staken it all on you and tasted that good satisfaction of knowing that He is God and that He can change you, transform you, and give you a new life. If you've not done that, I want to invite you right now, right where you sit. Trust Him. Commit your life to Him. Give it to Him right now, right in this place, right in this moment. You say, Bodie, I don't know how to do that. Just start praying to Him right now. Just quietly in your heart. Just call out to Him. Say, God, I've been looking at all these other things, and I'm still not satisfied. I realize today that I'm your creation. That you made me for a purpose. So right now, God, the best way I know how, I give my life to you. I know that Jesus died on a cross to save me, to cleanse me, to make me whole. So God, I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I'm banking it all on you. I'm giving you my life this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me this morning. The head's bowed. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. But I just want to ask you a very simple question. Did you pray that prayer or something like it? Did you commit your life to Jesus for the first time this morning? Or maybe for the first time you truly meant it. I just want you to do me a favor. Just slip up your hand right now. Say, Bodie, I prayed that prayer. I committed my life to Him. God bless you. I see your hand. Anyone else? You say, Bodie, I fully committed my life to Him this morning. I gave Him control this morning. Just slip your hand up.